You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, you are listening to Bloomberg Business Week. Carol Messer, along with Mike Regan, Tim Stenovic is off today, and so great to have back with us. I know Tim's going to be bummed that he missed him. Kent Swigg is back with us, and we talk about so many different things with him, but we certainly get into real estate stories because he's president at Swigg Equities. It's a real estate development and investment firm based in New York City. He is with us via Zoom in New York City. Kent Swigg, how are you?
Good. Nice to hear your voice, Carol.
Well, nice to hear your voice. What's top of mind for you, though, when you look at today's investment environment? I feel like we talk about so many big macro Fed issues, inflation issues, supply chain issues. But I'm curious, from your perspective and your world, what's really top of mind and top priority?
You know, well, from an investment side, I think you hit it all. I think one of the big things is, which we've talked about before, is just getting back and re-cranking up the American economy again, and the business of doing business. So it's getting there. America's plus or minus 43% occupying their office space today. New York City is a tad under that at about 39.5%. And in my opinion, one of the things that is missing and is really critical to really performing business on a very, very efficient and productive way is being in the office and attending business in person. And I think that's one of the issues. And
are they back, Kent? Are people really coming back?
You know, not enough, in my opinion. We're as I say, New York City is about 39.5% actual occupancy of people in the office. The rest of the nation's 42 to 43%. So we're lacking a little bit. But business does not perform ultimately well and efficiently and creatively unless people are interfacing back and forth. And that goes back to tribal days. The thing that separated us from other animals on Earth is our ability to communicate with each other and work with each other and perform tasks with each other in person. And from then going on, that's what our success has been. So I understand sort of a split schedule, but I believe that's one of the biggest challenges that we're facing right now.
I know Mike wants to ask a question, but I do feel like there's going to be people listening saying, oh, look, it's the real estate guy talking about getting people back to real estate. No offense.
But of course it is. But I'm saying, first of all, the people that have space are still paying their rent.
Yeah.
And they're still performing. So I'm talking about real business productivity, creativity, and opportunity. And it just doesn't happen. And it'll work for a little while, but the networking that goes on in the elevator going to work or exiting work or meeting in a coffee room or bumping into people does not happen anymore. But people are still going to movies. Right. They're still going to shows. They're going to sporting events. They're going to concerts. So it's not that they're not going out. It's just they're not going to the office. So that's a whole nother piece. And I don't think it's just COVID related, because you pack yourself into a bar, you pack yourself into a music festival. You're more at risk at getting COVID than you are sitting in an office, distance with people. So I think that's one of the big concerns.
Well, Kent, when you plan for the future, is it realistic to expect those occupancy rates to get back to 100% of sort of the pre-pandemic level, or are you sort of counting on it being something still below 100%? Still room for recovery, but maybe not back to where we were.
Well, I think that clearly what's happened is that we've got a shortage of workers in America right now, and on a whole nother level. As a wilder thought, but I think actually economically prudent, was that we need about 30 million immigrants in this country over the next 10 to 15 years. We have an aging population. We have a lack of workforce, and we need people to come in and do that. So that's on a whole nother level. Do I believe that people working should be partly at home and partly at work right now? I think that there's a good case for that. You know, it's interesting to note that the home time that people want to work are always on a Monday and Friday, and they're going to work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Frankly, I believe that Monday is one of the more important days to be in the office, because that's when people set the schedule, set the agenda for what's going to happen in the week. If you do it Tuesday, you sort of lose a day. So, I mean, I think Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday working is much more important than and if you work from home on a Thursday, Friday, or take a Wednesday, Friday or something. But I think Mondays are very important. But I think we're going to be in a hybrid situation for a little while. There's no doubt.
Does it make sense for a guy like you to think about converting some of the office real estate into residential in a city like New York?
Well, we do lack residential, apartments and housing. And that's all a degree of price right now. But no, I haven't. New York City is on about a 20%. Downtown is about 20% vacancy rate. The overall Manhattan vacancy rate is about 17%. So certainly there are buildings that are older buildings and can't compete with the new buildings that are there. And that is something that would be, a prime candidate for conversion to residential. And if you look at the city right now, there is no residential or commercial, single areas alone. Everything is mixed together. So yeah, that's certainly an option for some.
Hang on for a second, Kent. We're going to do a little bit of news, but we'll come right back to you. We're going to get back to Kent Swigg. He is president of Swigg Equities. He's joining us via Zoom from New York City, and our conversation will continue. We are still here with Kent Swigg, president of Swigg Equities, still with us via Zoom from New York City. So I am curious, Kent, in this environment, there could be some opportunities, distressed properties. Are you doing any buying? Are you doing any selling in this environment?
I'm not doing any selling, but we are doing some buying. Yes, we're looking at a development project on the Jersey coast, which we're close to getting. We have another project up in Yonkers that we're looking at right now and negotiating, and sporadically starting looking at Manhattan.
You know, Kent, I know you have a side hustle, as they say, as the kids say, in crypto. Can you talk to us a little bit about that, how you got involved in that, and sort of what the state of the project is?
Well, I got involved about 3 years ago, and we ended up buying some cryptocurrency and found that there was problems with the company. And we ended up starting our own token, if you will. The company is called Dignity Gold. We've got 3 billion tokens outstanding. Very uniquely and quickly is, one, we've got gold backing from mines that we own and control that are in Nevada. So we're all U.S.-based. Our gold is U.S.-based. Our company is U.S.-based. Our attorneys, our accountants, everything is U.S.-based, all transparent. Also uniquely, we voluntarily filed last year with the SEC. And then very uniquely, we all the people that lost money in the crypto that we got involved with, including ourselves, we then went out and issued free tokens, put out 3 billion tokens, including to ourselves, for all those who lost money that could show that they actually had a legitimate token owned before any impropriety in trading, which was decentralized trading platform in Ukraine. We issued all free tokens to anybody who could show us that. So we made everybody whole, including ourselves, and went forward. So we're now in the process with the SEC. We are trading overseas for foreigners on CryptoSX in the Philippines and Bit Global, which is in Singapore. And going very well. We've got $6 billion of gold backing our token. It's about $2 per token. If gold goes up, we put up more gold. Our two mines that we own, and we've got 7 that we've got rights to, is over $500 billion of precious metals, gold, silver, rare earth minerals, platinum, etc. So it's an exciting project. Very new for the industry, though.
So when he talks about crypto mining, it's a whole different different definition.
This is real money. This is real money.
You're talking about the real metals, yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting because gold is an inflation hedge. Crypto is obviously a very up and coming type of business. It's a multi-trillion-dollar business at this point. But what we believed is taking business practices of transparency, good procedures, policies, and filing with the SEC. And take those and apply it into the crypto market. So with real backing of provable gold reserves.
All right, you know I'm going to jump in here because stablecoins, I mean, have certainly been on everybody's radar in terms of what happened to Terra USD.
We are not a stablecoin.
Okay, but it has sent shivers through the whole crypto market, Kent. You know this. It's brought everything down. It should. So how do you distinguish what you are doing or differentiate and how it is a longer term play?
Well, first of all, we've filed with the SEC because we want to be regulated, which is a very unique thing. So we spent a lot of money because we believe that we should be regulated as a digital security, which we are. Two, we have proven assets of gold backing our token. So they're in the United States, in Nevada, in two mines. They're shown. We've got 43-101 engineering reports. We are doing due diligence also to file publicly on ourselves as part of our SEC filing. So we have, and the unique thing is that if you lose your password, unlike every other crypto, we replace your password. Just like if you own stock in IBM, they don't burn. They don't say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you don't get your stock." They cancel the stock certificate and issue a new one. That's the same as us because everybody has to go through Know Your Client, KYC, and anti-money laundering, AML processing. So we know who people are and we go forward. In addition to which, we're also creating a fund that will throw off dividends, and those dividends will be also issued to token holders. So we're very much running the company as a public company that in a Wall Street world.
But volatility is going to be part of this environment, right, Kent? I mean, it's not going to go. I mean, I've talked to a lot of folks who are, so-called, experts in this world too. And they're saying, you got to think about it like the early days of the internet. And so think about that when you're either making an investment bank or, investment decision. I mean, right? I mean, we're in the early stages of this. We still don't really know how this all plays out.
Well, yes. But if I were to tell you, gee, Carol, I've got a great Mike and I've got a great stock for you. And you go, okay, Kent, tell me about it. Okay. What would you like to know? Well, where's it based? Well, I'm not really sure. And who owns it? Well, I'm really not sure. And what does it do? I'm really not sure. How does it make money? Well, it really doesn't. Well, why will it go up? Because somebody else will pay more money from it. Well, that's describing a lot of the cryptocurrency companies.
Yeah.
That is why people say they don't understand it. Well, in that respect, there's not much to understand. This, but the technology, the blockchain operation, upside, and usage of a cryptocurrency in the world more and more is good. As an industry, mm-hmm. applying business practices that aren't good doesn't work. So what we've done is applied good, solid business practices into that world. And I think that makes sense.
All right. We have to leave it on that note. I know we will talk more about this as we always like to touch on it with you. Good to hear your voice. Glad to hear you're well. And of course, that's Kent Swigg joining us via Zoom from New York City. He is president of Swigg Equities.